Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is February 3rd. I'm Steven Masso. As always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, today's going to be an episode, of course, discussing the Super Bowl, so it isn't necessarily going to be primarily Dolphins focused, but I think as, you know, fans of the sport, it is still valuable information. I always say there's no harm in knowing about the whole league and what's going on. It's also going to kind of be creating some other narratives. Of course, we want to tie this in to how the Dolphins could build a team like this and just a bunch of other narratives that are just discussing this game that just happened. Of course, it was a huge win. The Kansas City Chiefs ended up defeating the San Francisco 49ers, a score of 31-20. First of all, I am so happy for Andy Reid. I don't think there is a soul in the NFL or an NFL fan that is out there actively hating Andy Reid. The guy is so lovable. He has been here. He is so well deserving of getting this Super Bowl ring finally. Very happy for him. And then a lot of those kind of same things could be said to Patrick Mahomes. Of course, he hasn't had a long tenure. This is only his second year as a starter, but he's already made such a huge impact. He is taking the game to a whole different level. It's kind of creating different trends. He is a gunslinger. He's fun to watch. He's an awesome role model. There is not really many negative things that you could say about Patrick Mahomes. So this is one of those instances. I mean, we've seen the Patriots win year after year. It seems like the general mind state from fans across the country was kind of disappointment seeing them just dominate the league. But this is kind of the opposite because this was such, you know, just a wholesome, fun team to root for in the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, as we dive into this game a little bit more, it was not always going in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs, of course. At one point, the Chiefs were down by 10 points, and they were really struggling to move the ball. Patrick Mahomes had thrown two interceptions. One of them was very poorly thrown on his part, just a terrible decision-making, something that's very uncharacteristic of Patrick Mahomes. The other one was kind of thrown behind Tyreek Hill. It was bobbled and ended up being picked off. And typically, for any other NFL quarterback, you see that and you say, hey, they are in a pretty bad situation. This game might be done. But this is not any ordinary quarterback that we're talking about. This is Patrick Mahomes, somebody who has come back in every postseason game this season, and he did just that. And I can't stress enough how uncomfortable he looked in that first half of the game. Very uncharacteristic poor throws. It looks like he was underthrowing a bunch of them. He was running outside of the pocket frequently. Nick Bosa was on his shoelaces, it seemed like, every single play, and he was running for his life. He really didn't find that groove until we kind of got closer towards the end of the game in that fourth quarter. Now, another guy for the Chiefs that had a tremendous outing and frankly, in my opinion, should have been the Super Bowl MVP, that is former Dolphins Damian Williams, the running back. He had 17 carries, 104 yards rushing, one touchdown. 38 of those came on kind of, in a sense, dagger play. Some will say it was garbage time and it wouldn't have affected it, but it was absolutely a dagger. 104 yards and a touchdown. He also had 29 yards receiving and another touchdown through the air. So it was a big day for him. And I say that he should have been the MVP, but realistically, I should have known that a running back typically isn't going to win this award. We saw James White in that huge epic comeback by the New England Patriots against the Falcons, where James White was, it seemed like, the only guy that was catching balls from Tom Brady. He ended up finishing the game with 14 catches, 110 yards, three total touchdowns, and Tom Brady got the MVP. And it's like, of course Tom Brady would. The second the game ended, the narrative was that Tom Brady, you know, brought the team back, and it seems like everyone just seemed to forget about what James White did in that game. The same thing, I think, will be said about Damian Williams. Had a tremendous impact. They were force-feeding him a lot, and he looked very explosive, and I don't think he's going to end up getting enough credit. I think he should have been the MVP here. It was ended up given to Patrick Mahomes, who is, you know, still deserving, but it wasn't, you know, a dominating performance by Mahomes like we see so often in the regular season. It was definitely a good one, especially against a defense that was as dominant as the 49ers, but this wasn't the stereotypical Patrick Mahomes flat-out domination game. We didn't see that. He really struggled in the first half, and he was able to get back on track just in time to pull out the comeback victory. Now, as for the 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo on his stat line looked pretty good. I mean, it may look a little bit worse because he threw that pick on the one of the final plays. He was 20 for 31, 219 yards, a touchdown, and two picks. And when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo, there was a moment where he had an opportunity to, answer that big question that can Jimmy Garoppolo lead his team down the field and end up getting them the win? And in this case, the answer was no. And I think that is kind of, it mirrors my sentiment on him in regards to him as a player right now. I'm not saying that he will never make that next step, but the way as it stands right now, I see him as mostly a game manager, maybe with a little bit more upside than that. But I don't think he is truly one of these marquee, build your franchise around quarterbacks. I think he is enough that if you have a dominant defense like the 49ers currently do, and maybe add some nice little weapons around him, that he could be serviceable and definitely be enough to, you know, get them in the Super Bowl again. But as it stands right now, I'm kind of worried about the sustainability of this 49ers team, because defensively they're going to lose some key parts there. Offensively, I don't know if Jimmy Garoppolo could carry the load. I don't know if I'm too convinced about the weapons they have on the offensive side of the ball either. It's just, if you ask me which team would I rather be long term, I would bet on the Kansas City Chiefs, and a large part is because Patrick Mahomes offers that stability. Just having a guy like that, he could turn guys who aren't necessarily elite weapons into elite players. Whereas Jimmy Garoppolo, you kind of need those elite guys to make him look a little bit better. Now, again, this wasn't some dud of a performance by Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, he was playing pretty good, you know, up until that last drive, but they just weren't asking too much from him. And I think that is going to be his kind of identity, I would say, throughout his career, if I had to guess. Now, Raheem Mostert, he was really not utilized so much in the early portion of this game. He finished with 12 carries, 58 yards, and he did have a touchdown. But man, this is a guy who had over 200 yards and four touchdowns. This kind of running back by committee that it seemed like they were going to use at the beginning of this game, I don't really get that. I mean, you give it to the hot hand. It's clear that Raheem Mostert was that guy. They were giving a lot of those carries to Tevin Coleman, Deebo Samuel, who had a terrific game. In this one, he had 53 yards rushing, and he also had another 39 through the air. It was very odd to me, a team that is so dependent on pounding the rock, and they kind of turned away from Raheem Mostert until the tail end of this game. Just a little bit of a head scratcher. Now, a play that is going to be talked about a little bit for a bad reason is the pass interference, offensive pass interference call that was called on George Kittle towards the end of the first half. It was a 40-yard play that was reversed. It put the 49ers in field goal position. They would have gotten an extra 3 points at least, and then they would have gotten the ball back in the second half. So, of course, that would be huge for the 49ers. They ended up calling it offensive pass interference on George Kittle. The play was taken back. Now, if you ask me, that's one of those plays where I could see both sides. I mean, it was enough, I guess, to make the argument that sure, there was some pass interference there. He extended the arm. But to me, I would prefer those kind of calls, especially in a game like this, just be kind of ignored. And I think most fans would agree that we would like the ref's involvement to be kind of kept at a minimum. We prefer the more physical kind of football. I don't like the refs intervening and affecting huge plays like that, especially when it's not just an egregious pass interference. It was more just one that you could kind of make the argument for, but I would rather kind of just let it be a physical game, let it set the tone, instead of calling it, you know, on some weak kind of pass interference call, which in my eyes, that is what it was. Now, if we look at the receivers for the Chiefs, you have Tyreek Hill. He had a huge 44-yard catch. It was a huge momentum shift for him. It was extremely needed, and he finished the game with 105 yards. But I think the most impressive receiver here out of Kansas City is a guy who says he may not play next season, and that's Sammy Watkins. He finished with 5 catches, 98 yards. He was being fed a lot, and Sammy Watkins, it's interesting because he said that if the team doesn't bring him back, there's a real legitimate chance that he may sit out next season. So it's interesting. I'm all for guys, you know, taking whatever steps needed in terms of, you know, whether it's an emotional thing, a mental health thing, and just enjoying life. I mean, life is short. He is definitely a young player. He is definitely set financially. But again, still, he is in the prime of his career. He proved it here on this stage. Given his performance, frankly, if I had to bet, I would be kind of shocked if he ends up taking the break that he said he might. I just don't think it happens. But again, if that's what he deems necessary, then so be it. Now, we move on to kind of one of the narratives, and it was the guy who I said should have won Super Bowl MVP, Damian Williams. Of course, he's a former Dolphin. He is undrafted. The same could be said about Raheem Mostert on the opposite side of the field for the 49ers. And that he had a terrific performance in this game for the Chiefs. He did. And this is, again, I think it goes without saying, he is not a premium-priced running back in this league. And I guess you kind of already know what I'm hinting at. I say it every time. And this is kind of alluding to the Melvin Gordons, the Derrick Henrys, the guy in free agency right now that a lot of fans are saying should the Dolphins pursue in free agency. And that just kind of brings home my point. Here you have the Chiefs winning with Damian Williams, and he looked like an absolute stud. If all the pieces around him fit, it shows you what that could do to a player. On the other side of the ball, you had Raheem Mostert, the 200-plus yard, 4 TD game. You had Tevin Coleman, who looked pretty electric. Throughout the season, you had Matt Breida incorporated in there as well. Now, I understand Derrick Henry very much put the team on his back, and I do think that he will get paid by a team, and it will be extremely well deserved, and it will help a team, but I'm not convinced that the Dolphins are the ones that are in this position to be kind of making a move for a guy like that. And I say it frequently, the running back is a luxury position. If you're at a point where you have other positions set and you can afford to do that, then by all means, go ahead and do it and get a guy like Derrick Henry. And now this is going to tie into my landing spots to kind of show you why I think it makes more sense for these teams as opposed to the Dolphins. And same thing goes for Melvin Gordon. You could fill his name in there as well. Teams like the Kansas City Chiefs right now, even though they got a terrific performance out of Damian Williams, you are set at wide receiver. You got Tyreek Hill, you got Mecole Hardman, you got Travis Kelce, you got your superstar of a quarterback. Now, if you add a guy like Derrick Henry in there at your running back position, you are just the absolutely one of the most loaded teams offensively, potentially in history. Now, if you even do that and you're a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if you have your guys like Chris Godwin, you have Mike Evans, you have a quarterback like Jameis Winston, who you know has the potential, but he's kind of on the fringe, give him Derrick Henry, and that offense takes a whole nother leap, and he could end up proving that he is indeed the guy. Now, for the Dolphins, the talks right now are that they are interested in Tua. The idea is that Tua will likely sit all of next season, so it kind of is a head-scratcher to me paying that premium for a running back, and you're not even going to be using him in the same time span as that franchise quarterback that you just went out and got. It kind of seems like a wasted year there. And then assuming that the quarterback, given that no rookie has ever won the Super Bowl, is going to have some growing pains in his first year as the starter, it does kind of make me a little bit nervous, because then you have 2 years of Derrick Henry that would kind of potentially be wasted. I think if the Dolphins were more set at all the rest of positions, if they were truly on the verge of making a push, whereas right now they're building to the future, then go out and get them. Now, I will say I do see the argument that it could ease the pressure and it would make it a ton much more easier, and they have the cap space to do it. They have a ton of money, but I just am not a fan of the idea. I love some of the running backs in this draft. I would love to see that be the direction the Dolphins take for this position. Now, the last narrative that will be discussed in this episode is that should teams be striving to build their team like the Chiefs did, or should they be striving to build their team like the 49ers? Of course, there's no right or wrong team, and I'm going to tie a lot of this into the Dolphins as well. And frankly, if you had to ask me, I would prefer 100% the route that has the franchise quarterback, just because of how sustainable it is, how many moving parts seem to work seamlessly if you have a franchise quarterback. Whereas if you are using a game manager kind of quarterback offensively, and you're using the ground and pound game, and the defense is your strength, it isn't as sustainable, because typically you have a defensive coordinator who is doing a pretty darn good job defensively. He's going to leave, end up being the head coach somewhere else. You have to account for there's 11 guys contributing on defense. Not all of those guys are going to stick around, so the scheme has to be perfect to the point where guys can be moving in and out. Whereas with a franchise quarterback, an elite level guy, of course, it's no easy task to go out and get him. But if you got that locked down, if you have somebody, then whoever you're throwing out there is going to end up looking pretty good on the offensive side of the ball. And any weapons you give them are just kind of excess toys to kind of go around there and play with. If you look at what the Colts had and how many guys that Peyton Manning turned into superstars, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark. If you look at what he was able to do in Denver with Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. If you look at what Tom Brady has been able to do throughout his career, turning all these slot receivers like Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, again, Wes Welker there too. It really does show how much easier it makes the rest of things. And now, of course, people are going to say, well, you can't just go out and get a franchise quarterback. Of course, that's the dream. You don't know exactly what you're getting. Of course, that's the hope if you were to draft a guy like Tua, or if you draft Jordan Love or Justin Herbert, but there's nothing set in stone. And I know that, but I'm saying this more from the perspective because there is some talks, and I don't know if it makes sense that, you know, should the Dolphins go out and get Derek Carr if the Raiders are truly interested in Tom Brady, and then people who are mad about Ryan Tannehill. I mean, those guys right now, to me, are middle of the pack guys. The Derek Carr, of course, he may be a little bit better than that. Ryan Tannehill, average to a little bit better than average. But those guys require the rest of the team to be loaded to kind of compensate for what they can't do. The Dolphins right now are in a rebuild. They're in the position to take that chance to land the franchise quarterback. And I think it makes sense. Of course, there's some risk involved, but the payout is just so huge. And it works for such a long period of time if you can get, you know, your hands on a Mahomes, or if you can get your hands on a Russell Wilson, an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Just having that is going to put you on the cusp of playoff consideration every single year. And that is why I'm so adamant about it, and I've been talking about it so much. The Dolphins right now would be making such a lateral move if they go out and get the Derek Carr, or, you know, Matt Stafford, who's been great throughout his career, but now he's getting up there in age. That would kind of be a lateral move because you know what you're getting in both of those guys, and they haven't been able to push their team. They haven't been able to kind of transcend into those elite quarterbacks that can get their teams in playoff consideration every single year, whereas the other guys have. And of course, there's a ton of coaching. There's talent on the rest of the roster that has to be taken into account for. But if you're going to kind of underestimate the power of having an elite quarterback, I don't know what to tell you because it is incredibly important. So some final notes. Miami as a city did absolutely terrific hosting the Super Bowl. Hard Rock Stadium looked phenomenal. Tom Garfinkel was the CEO for the Dolphins. What an absolute job he did turning around this stadium. And someone said it was world class, and I absolutely agree. It's just impressive. It looked picturesque. Some scenes looked like they were out of a movie when they would pan the camera over and you could see the sunset in the background, the fireworks going off. Just absolutely crazy, and they're only doing more to progress it and having it look even nicer, which is hard to do, but they're doing an awesome job over there. It seemed like people really loved the city of Miami and they were just enjoying themselves. I haven't seen this kind of positive reception from about a host city of the Super Bowl in some time, if ever. And then the halftime show was phenomenal. I will say, I'm not the biggest fan of J-Lo's music. I don't really know too much of her stuff. I know her more as a celebrity slash icon, but Shakira, I love Shakira, man. I used to, you know, listen to Shakira all the time in the car when I was a little kid with my parents. She did an awesome job. Bad Bunny too. Just a terrific, you know, show, especially somebody who is from, you know, Hispanic descent. That Latino kind of feel to it was a nice little taste. It was very, very nice. Now, guys, that's how I'm going to wrap it up. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. If you want to hear more from me, you can follow the podcast. I've been tweeting a lot more for Dolphins-centered stuff from the podcast account, and that is at Via The Source. So I do have some interesting news coming up, so stay tuned for that. And guys, I truly do appreciate questions and topics that you guys would like for me to cover in the episodes. I really like those. I've had a few of them, and those have been some of my, you know, favorite talking points because it really is kind of open base, and I like hearing what you guys think as well. So feel free to send me questions or topics that you would like for me to discuss. That would be awesome. Guys, as always, though, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso. This was Via The Source.